Hello, and welcome to another edition of Kaleidoscope. This is Magda Zenon, recording from Nicosia. And with me in my virtual studio, I have Eleanor Gandanger, who is coming to us from Luxembourg.
Hello, Magda.
And are you in Luxembourg?
I'm French, and I'm in a Cotutel between the University of Caen in Normandy in France and, Luxembourg.
Eleanor, introduce yourself, but I just want to tell the listeners that I came across Eleanor because, as most of you know, I love storytelling. And I am very, very passionate about the fact that the stories from women and the stories about women don't get enough visibility. And it's these stories that actually keep the fabric of society together very often, and especially during times of conflict. And within that context, Eleanor, introduce yourself, please.
Yes. So I'm working on godmothers during the First World War in France. Godmothers means volunteers. There are more women than men because of the war. And they try to encourage men by letters, or they could also send some nice things like chocolate or tobacco or some clothes and so on. And I'm working on it since 6 years now. I started during my research master at the University of Caen, first of all.
Tell me, how did you find these stories? Where did you find these women? Or where did you find the stories about these women?
It's a good question. Well, I wanted to find a subject about women, for sure. For the period of history, I was not sure. But then I always had a curiosity for the First World War. And then I met an historian called Clémentine Vidal-Naquet, a French historian. And she said to me that the godmothers, this subject, so far, we don't know so much about it. And I was really surprised because at this time, our conversation was during the year of 2018. So, I mean, it means after 4 years of commemoration about the First World War, and the godmothers were not, I mean, they were here, but not, it was superficial.
Okay.
So I started my work in Normandy with the different departmental archives, also some Paris archives online with the La Contemporaine. It's a big center, contemporary archives. And I started like this the first year. And then I would say I met a godmother called Yvonne Fleury.
And it's a godmother. You're talking about godmothers.
Yeah, godmother. Yeah. In French, it's marraine de guerre. So I translate simply in godmothers. Maybe wartime godmothers would be more
appropriate.
Yeah, exactly. And so my obsession was to find letters. And I really started to try to find them, but them means the wartime godmothers. But it's not so easy, and I realized that after it, because it's at least easier to find letters from the soldiers to the wartime godmother, instead the godmother's letters to the soldiers. And on my now I have around 2,000 letters, more or less, and the majority of them, it's from the soldiers. So it means something. It's
it means a lot of things to me. It means a lot of things. Firstly, that these women actually stepped into this role of reaching out to these young men that were in the war. And from what I'm told, some of them were just friendship, but some of them also ended up in marriage.
That's true. It's really a generation of young men and women, but it's a relationship by distance, and it's really Quite random in a certain way, because it's like now you can meet someone by distance, but doesn't mean you will find a good friend first and maybe then a fiance or your future husband. But yeah, there are some stories and nice stories to to
Tell me
say.
how did they find them? How did they match up?
It's this is also a big question, because now, I mean, I am in my 4th year of my doctoral degree, and it's really not easy to understand what is the beginning of le marrainage. Le marrainage, it's the French word to of this institution. It's not from the government, it's not from the army, it's not from the church, it's from the civilian and maybe female civilian of the society. And some of them, like Marguerite de Lens, but she's not the only one, build with her network a kind of charity association to find a way to find soldiers in some bad situation, like the men from the north and the east of France, because the contact with the family was they couldn't have any contact because of the German soldiers.
Yes.
And Marguerite de Lens wanted to find a solution to not let this man alone. And so she asked volunteers. She didn't use so far the word wartime godmother. It was
Okay.
in French, personne de cœur. So I would say, yeah, person of heart.
Okay. That's a lovely way of putting it.
It's really nice. But so this is the biggest association in France, but at least the newspaper had also a big power to also ask women, especially women, to be a wartime godmother. So this is I would say, the two official ways to be a wartime godmother. But then it's from, if you have a good friend, sorry, it's like word of mouth. Really, to I know someone, my cousin or my sister could be your godmother, or something like this. Then it's really like today, I would say.
Exactly. And there's no bigger power than the power of word of mouth, of me
Yeah.
telling you or asking you. I think the purpose, though, was twofold. I think maybe I'm saying it as a civilian and as a 21st century person. It could be to not leave them alone in the east part of the part that they were cut off by the German soldiers. But it could also be a way to develop a relationship with a man because there were no men around because of the war. Or am I wrong?
Well, as I started to say, it's not easy to know from the wartime godmother
The reasons.
the reasons. That's right. I suppose some of them wanted to have a link, especially if they didn't have any fiancé, brothers, fathers at the front. But the French army for sure, but it's not the only one, didn't like so far this relationship, like between women and men by distance. They didn't know each other, so they started to have an eye on it. A godmother could be a spy or not,
Exactly. Also true.
or a prostitute also. So what is the definition then of wartime godmother? It's not because you send a letter to a man, you are not a godmother. It's more than that. But yeah, it's a tricky subject, tricky definition.
Now, it is a tricky definition because I didn't actually think of, as I said the words, you know, what maybe they just needed male company. I also then thought of the fact that they could be spies. They could have been part of the resistance. They could have been Germans looking for information. They could have been a lot of things. So it is a tricky situation, especially in a world with no internet that you can't cross-check and cross-reference people. And you said, so far, how many relationships have you found out? How many godmothers have you found? Wartime godmothers have you found?
Well, I didn't count so far. I didn't check my numbers again, but I would say the majority of the godmothers that I found, because I cannot say what I didn't see so
Yes.
far, but they are young. They are young. Sometimes they are single and young, and that is the big stereotype of godmother, like pretty, young, and of course single woman. But I have also children, especially a little girl called Christiane. She's 9 years old in 1916, and she's really proud to be a godmother and to support his godson, wartime godson. Also some women, yeah, they are older. I mean, it's every kind of
Of
women
women.
and teenager, even little girl.
It's actually
So,
quite surprising to hear that there was a young girl, a girl as young as 9, that wanted to embark on this journey. In reading, you said you got mainly the letters of the young men. What did you understand from the letters that you wrote, that you read? How important, what kind of relationship was this? I'm sure the relationship is not one, but what was the biggest thing you took away from the letters that you wrote from the men that were replying?
I would say it's about to feel not alone, not feeling alone, get support, and also keep in touch. I mean, this is the most important that I found in the letters, especially from the men, but also from the women, because yes, I have also, thankfully, wartime godmother's letters, but it's really keep the contact and because there is some quiproquo, misunderstandings
Yes,
sometimes
okay. Yeah.
because of the distance, or because one of them make a joke and it was not funny, but they didn't know, I mean, how to build a safe relationship. So sometimes it's very quick. Sometimes they can be very friendly quickly, and it's really funny how they, I would say, it's really about make a pact,
Of
like,
trust.
yeah, of trust, and until the end of the war, let's keep in touch. Let be together by distance, and yeah, don't give up the relationship, more or less, I would say. It's really that the link.
I mean, it's really heartwarming to hear these stories because we're talking about a world that we don't really understand because now we are in the world of internet where keeping in touch is very easy.
Yeah,
Okay, it's very easy. We're talking about a time where limited telephones, letter writing was the only means, and letter writing also meant long time to get to send the letter and to receive the letter. But I also see a lot of similarities because when you're writing, it's something you also need to learn when you're writing on the internet. You've got to be really careful about the words you use because
Exactly.
when you make a joke, it's not always understood as a joke by the person who's reading it. You've got to remember that you can't hear a tone of voice. So you've got to be really careful about the words you use.
And it's also another aspect of this research. It's, as you said, it's the letter is the only way to keep in touch with the women, family, and so on. And when you are a bit, or you are just illiterate, you the majority, I mean the guys were to school, were in school, but for some of them, It's very far to them because they stopped schools when they were 14 years old, something like this. And it's really like how to overcoming shame, how to say, okay, I'm not a good writer at all, but I want to,
Keep in touch.
and express myself. It's also the question of how to be able to, it's, as you said, it's choose the right word, but be able to write, just write. And then it's because some letters, it's not easy to read them. It's not because of the writing, it's really because of the meaning. And
Because you've
it's
also, I think you've also got to remember, and we forget, is that these young men were in a war zone. So there were bombs around them. They were alone. There were injured people around them. They had no friends, or they might not have had friends. So that this was not normal circumstances that they were writing from, and the women were writing from more normal circumstances.
And also I mean the men and young men are not only workers, but it's really like the godmothers from the bourgeoisie and the men from the workers. It's not just that, but a part of my archives, it's this relationship, the social relationship.
Okay, it's I mean, there's so many dimensions. It's
Yes.
the dimensions of gender, of class, of
Exactly.
actual context, because I think the context is the one that puts the final color off. The one is at home, and the other one is in a trench in a war zone. Okay, this I mean, it must be fascinating to read all these stories. What are you gonna? You have recently published a book with these stories, have you not, of a doctor soldier?
The name of this book, it's Adopt un Soldat. I think it's really close to the English.
Exactly the same.
Exactly the same. Yeah, that's right. About that book, it's a funny story behind the book, I would say, because during my first year of my thesis, I made a conference in Normandy. With a local association, and in the public, Laurence Antonios, who is the publisher, was there. But it was really she could she, it's a bit strange to say that, but she could be not be here because she's living in Paris, and we were in Normandy, and really in a little town, really in a village. Close to the sea, so really, but because the connection, the network is quite powerful, and she wanted to work with me. She liked the subject. She liked my way to share this subject and so on. And she said to me at the end of the conference, "I would like to work with you." And I was like, wow, it's so nice. It's super nice. But I'm just at the beginning. I mean, it was March and I started officially the thesis in October. So it's really okay. I'm not
Very in
new
the
in.
beginning, yes.
But I'm not really new in this subject because I started some years ago, 2 or 3 years ago. So I was really like, I think I want to do something with her. I want to know what she wants. And if it's possible, let's do it. And
But I think you were also at the stage where, being in the beginning, you weren't really sure what you wanted to do with the information you got and the stories you got.
exactly. And how it's possible and so on. So she explained me the collection of the it's a vivre écrire, so live and write, and it's really to. It's really to bring to light archives first.
Okay.
So for in my head, I was like, okay, it's not too much work in a sense that I will choose my wartime godmothers, okay. I will transcript the letters that I will choose myself. And then I will write the introduction to, yeah, to introduce them. So I was like, I think it's possible, because she said, okay, this book would be for 2024, and it was 2021 when we talk about the projects. And I said to her, don't worry, it's helpful for my research anyway, because I have to read that letters, I have to know about them, I have to analyze already, and so on. So it was really a good compromise to share a part of my research,
Research.
but to keep also some not mystery, but I mean, wait for the end of my thesis to know everything about, I mean, quite everything, of course. So, yeah.
From what I read from reading up on you, you also combined your work with turning this into a cartoon.
Yes, that's true.
And I like that idea because I think in the world that we're living in, people don't have a lot of patience to read a lot of things. And a lot of the time, pictures with writing, a little bit of writing, are more effective.
Exactly.
So, tell me about that experience, that
Yeah.
journey.
So yeah, my doctoral project is really hybrid. Because after my research master, so about the godmothers and so on, I wanted to find a way to how to explore history with medium. And I didn't know that word, public history. I didn't know so far. I wanted to do these kind of things, but I didn't know that word. And then, so short story, but I met someone who knows someone and so on. And
The usual. I know someone who knows someone who knows someone else.
exactly. So it was in Paris, and just before the lockdown. So I was really lucky to meet these people before. And he said to me, "Do you know the public history master close to Paris?" No. Okay. So I did this research master, and then when the question of a thesis was again on the table, my first supervisor said to me, "Would be great, would be relevant if you cross your two masters." And with to make a co-tutelle, that the word, with the University of Luxembourg. And I was really like, okay, let's do it, let's try.
Let's dive
And
in. Let's dive in the deep end.
and then I met online by distance Thomas Covin, and he said to me, I follow you if you are able to propose, to suggest a project, a public history project. What you want, but like really be concrete. So it could be a documentary, it could be a podcast, it could be a children's book, anything. And I thought would be nice in a sense, would be maybe easier to make a comic book instead of a documentary in 4 years, because it's really the question of time first and after it, but at least before, it's the financial aspect. I think it's easier to find money for a comic book instead a documentary. And I worked already with a cartoonist. It was for a children's book, and we became friends. So I asked my friend Laura Bensoussan, and I said to her, "Okay, I have this project. Do you want to follow me and make a comic book during my doctoral degree?" And she was very surprised, because I mean, it's really not a usual, especially in France. Maybe it's not like this now, but yeah. But she said, "You
That
seem
was
really
an unexpected request.
Yeah,
A
that's true.
comic book with a doctoral thesis.
And it means not only, I mean, for her it's to make a comic book in collaboration with me, but me means theorize a practice that I never do it also. So everything more or less was new. The only thing I mean the thing is I know my subject, I know my friend who is a cartoonist, so maybe with these two
Facts. They're both stable. You've got confidence in your knowledge and you've got confidence in your friend.
Exactly. So it was my two pillars, it's correct.
Yes, that's it, the two pillars.
And I said, yeah, so sorry. And but she said, you said about the First World War. And I said, yeah, it's that the period. And she was not very like, I'm not sure. No, not at
Excited.
all. She was already thinking of blood, of violence, and so on and so on. And it's true. I mean, we used to see this kind of images about the First World War. And I say, no. We will be with women, back front. It's really home front, that's the correct word. And I said, I want to tell a story about women during the First World War, and I don't want to go to the front, because how to understand the behavior, the thinking of a grandmother if we go to the front. So yeah, it was the beginning of the project, and she, at least, of course, she said yes, because now we can talk about it. But my big inspiration was this women, wartime godmother, Yvonne Fleury. It was my research master, my memoir, my master thesis. Some years ago, and it was a good beginning. But it doesn't mean our protagonist is Yvonne Fleury. It's not Yvonne Fleury anymore. But we.
Well, you give her a name, but then you pick up characteristics from all the other godmothers to make it richer.
Exactly. Yeah. It's a good mix of different, and also our personal.
Perceptions and feelings. How did you enjoy changing the medium from going from writing or going from documentaries to going to cartoons?
You mean a kind of transcription? How to.
How did you enjoy the experience of actually now your work coming out in a cartoon, which is a rather unexpected way of presenting your work? Did you enjoy the cartoon part of your journey?
Definitely, definitely. It's so wonderful to do that. I mean, I'm very curious of that. It's really. I wanted the comic book project in this doctoral degree, and I, of course, it's not easy because I'm not living with my friends, so it means we have to do everything by distance. We found a way to see each other every year, and for the project, and it's really how to share what I have in my head since years, and to let it go to the cartoonist, and how she will understand what I'm trying to understand, how she will
Create the characters on the paper.
exactly. And it's really this collaboration, it's really a good balance between our expertises. About our skills, and I really want also to learn how to make how to create a comic book. The dialogue, the cutting, the comic strip. I'm very curious, but it's also it's my job and not my job. It's really because we decided together to be co script writers. It's not I'm not the script writer, and she's the cartoonist. No, we are working together, and yeah, I'm not drawing. But if I can say, it would be nice if we do like this or like that. It's really share our skills and mix them.
How easy, because these godmothers of the World War One are your babies, how easy was it to share? Because then you feel like they belong to you. Because it's something, how easy was it to hand over to your friend that this is the conversation, this is what we're talking about, and let's see what you can put on paper. And how easy was it for you to not control the drawing?
Well, I think it's because I trust her,
Okay.
because we work together as well. I mean, maybe it's the time to say about the children book, our first project, because this children book, it was about my childhood with my sisters, so it was really personal.
Okay.
And we didn't know each other at this time. And when she sent me the first illustration of the three little girls, I was really like, wow, I love it. I love it.
Okay. So
And
you'd already built a relationship of trust by the time you got to the okay. Okay.
really. So a safe and a work relationship.
Oh, that I mean, it's because when something we when you're so close to something, you've got to have someone you trust because you're trusting them with what is exceptionally important to you. So it's got to be. And how long? When was the comic book published, or has it been published yet?
No, unfortunately, we don't have any publisher. We tried the 2 first years, but yeah, no success. It's really not easy to find a publisher, because you're trying to send them a good story and so on, and the answers, it was like, okay, I really like the drawing, but I don't like so much the dialogue, or I really like the stories, but I don't like the drawings, or oh, it's about women again, but they confuse it was about the First World War and not the Second World War, because in France it's really, yeah, and thankfully it's really great to find comic book about the women and the war, but especially the Second War. So I was like, no, it's the First World War. We don't know about them. We don't know,
Now,
really.
tell
But
me
yeah.
what about self-publishing?
The question is about the distribution. I mean, I won a grant from the association. It's a partner of the University of Luxembourg, of the C2DH, to be exact. And it's our solution to pay our cartoonist, to pay Laura, because I mean, everyone can understand, you cannot ask a real job for 4 years without any money. So
Absolutely.
yeah, and I was really like, with her, we wanted to find a safe production. So find a publisher, sign a contract, and then it's fine. But we didn't find. And I needed this project. I needed to really be in it and build our comic book. So the grant saved us. And yeah, I mean, I think we will think about a publication after
Okay.
the soutenance de thèse, after the thesis, because it's we now we are very focused on our history, story, not history. And I think it's the most important.
No, I agree with you. You need to finalize the comic book, finalize your thesis, and once everything is okay, then you can sit and focus and recharge of how you can actually publish it, because it's a pity for it not to be published.
I would be very disappointing, and I mean, we would be a shame. I think we are very open to maybe make a web comic. This is something also could be nice, could be relevant. So I have some ideas, but yeah, let's
So,
try.
when is your thesis supposed to finish? Are you at the end?
Right now, I have 1 year to be able to send my manuscripts. And yeah, I think the soutenance de thèse, the big oral, would be before Christmas 2025, I hope.
Okay,
Yeah,
okay.
hopefully.
Bonne chance.
Merci.
Bonne chance.
Thank you.
I get so excited when I hear these stories about women because I think there are so many stories about women
Yeah.
that are not recorded anywhere.
Yeah.
And in a lot of circumstances, these women actually kept communities together.
Yeah.
And
Yeah.
they re and then I mean when people say, you know what, stories about women again, yes, stories about women again, because for the last 5,000 years, all we've been hearing about is stories about men.
Yeah, exactly. And my way is really to tell the story of the wartime godmothers first and their relationship to the man or to the men, but not the opposite. I mean,
Your
my
focus.
focus, it's them, the women, and but not against men. It's because it's a solidarity link. It's how to encourage themselves. It's really how and also how to what the word
But to me, it's also a case of, you know, the men did not do the war alone. There were actually people behind them. So to me, it's also the balance of the community.
yeah.
So it's not the one-sided of men went to war, they won, they lost, or whatever happened. Or it's a case of what was left behind, who was left behind, who kept the family together, who kept them alive, or
Yeah,
who
yeah,
kept
yeah.
them happy. So to me, it's not, as you said, it's not one against the other. It's a question of the community.
Yeah. Yeah, and also it's really how to breaking down stereotypes.
Exactly.
It's really taking action for women. The agentivity, I don't remember, agentivity, it's the English word. It's really a concept of history, one of them, of course. And as a woman, what can I do
Yes.
during that war? And when I have the letters and the first, especially the first letters of some of them, some of wartime godmother, it's really relevant to understand why they are godmother. Because I mean, yeah, you can be patriotic, you can be very Catholic, like really, it's kind of not normal to do it. But I don't think it's so normal, because you have to be very I mean, it's about emotions, it's about feelings, how to be able to support that, to support a kind of pain.
But it's
So
also about making the commitment because, from what I understand, there was the commitment to actually stay in touch for the period of the war. So it's not just coming in and having a cup of coffee to put it on at 20 and then not seeing each other again. It's actually making the commitment to stay out the long haul, to actually stay on the other side of the letter.
Yeah,
So,
but it's
yes.
really, yeah, be emotionally strong.
Exactly.
And
That's it.
I would say it's, of course, I think some of them was like the good woman from the bourgeoisie. Yeah, we'll write some letters to say we are thinking of you. You are not alone. We are a big family and so on. And they didn't. Maybe I'm not judging when I'm saying that, but really like the minimum kind of minimum. But some of them really gave so
Invested.
much. Yeah, they invest so much. And if the guy died, or when they will meet during
After the war.
yeah, or during, can be during also. So yeah, it's very complex, very complex.
So some of them did meet.
It's after, I mean, I think it's the beginning was in July 1915. The simple soldiers could have a permission, and it was like the only way to see the family or to meet the godmother and so on. And so,
Okay.
the permission.
And some even got married.
During the war, yes, I have an example, and some after for sure.
And you said after, if they happened to die, how did they ever find out? How was the
It was like even Fleury, it's a good example. So she started to have three soldiers from the north of France, and it's about the when you are waiting for news and you feel like, ah, it's a bit long. Do I have to be
worried.
anxious, worried about it? Yeah, and it's you can know that by return letter. Or from the how what was the word in English? The officer, yeah,
Yes,
simple
the
one.
offer in charge.
So it was not so, it was quite easy in a certain way to know if about the death of the soldier also, yeah.
And tell me, were photographs also exchanged?
This is a nice theme of the global research. It's really for some of them it's really natural to share to exchange the photographs. Some of them were more shy, like, ah, it means something, like really to see the face of my godmother. And but it was the only way, except the permission, to know how she looks, how he looks. And sometimes it was like, wow, quite pretty. Quite pretty. And yeah, it's really funny how they present themselves by letters with the picture of them. Or when she it's in the book Adopt un Soldat, Henriette, she's the last wartime godmother in the book. She shared to his wartime godson the reaction of her friends around her, and how they were very excited to see him with a big mustache and so on. It's really like a funny story, really funny.
Okay. Is there anything else you want to say before we close? I would really like, is your book available only in French?
Yeah, unfortunately, yeah. I will ask my publisher if we could find a solution and to translate in English. Who knows? But yeah, it's only in French so far, yeah.
Okay. I really love, I'm in really enjoying this conversation. Is there anything else that you discovered during your research that we haven't spoken about that you want to say before we close?
No, I think yeah, it's no, but maybe just a point. It's about it's a part of my research. It's I created another comic book project called Gazangel. It's on Instagram and it's on the Luxembourgish website of the it's Luxembourgish website of the university, and I'm sharing my odyssey as a PhD candidate. And it's also another way to share my research. So it's really I wanted to make public history during my
During
public
your,
history.
okay, that's wonderful. But send me the link for the Instagram so that we can look at it and I'll put it online. Okay.
And on the website, it's in English and German also. Not on Instagram, but it's a part of the project.
Send me both the website and the Instagram. Eleonora, I really have enjoyed this conversation and I really, really, especially after you being recommended, your name was given to me by Mariam.
Yeah, thanks
I
for that.
want you all both or all to remember that if you hear of anyone else doing similar things about women and different kinds of women, please pass them on to me because I think they are treasures. And these treasures, unless they get archived or documented, they get
I agree.
lost. They get lost. So please don't forget about me and we'll
Yeah, no,
carry
no.
on speaking. So
Okay, super. Thank you, Magda. Thank you
thank
very
you
much.
very much and good luck going forward. And I hope afterwards you find a way to publish the
Yeah.
cartoon.
Thank you. Thank you very
I'll find
much.
a way you publish the cartoon.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank
Keep in
you,
touch.
Eleanor. And
Bye.
the listeners, thank you and stay safe.
The first trilingual podcast station of Cyprus. Island Talks. Open, diverse, free.